Okay, I want you to picture a sound, or maybe the sound.
Oh, I think I know where this is going.
That slightly distorted, looping, classical guitar track.
The one that cuts out every 30 seconds.
Just to tell you that your call is important to us, and
Yeah.
then nothing.
The universal soundtrack of frustration.
Yeah, it really is. And that's what we're diving into today, the world of service departments. Now, look, this is usually the part of the business we all try to, ignore until something is on fire.
Right. And so you have no other choice.
Exactly. But the source we have, a report titled Intelligence and Innovation in Modern Service Departments, it's basically arguing that the era of that doom loop hold music might actually be ending.
That's a bold claim, a very bold claim. Because for most of us, service department is pretty much synonymous with the waiting game.
Totally. But the subtitle is what really caught my eye right away. It's new tech that's making service departments smarter.
Smarter.
And I want to hang a huge lantern on that word, smarter. It doesn't say faster. It doesn't say cheaper.
It says smarter. And that distinction is everything. I mean, the source isn't just talking about, slapping a fresh coat of paint on a call center.
No.
It's arguing for a fundamental change. We're looking at how intelligence and innovation, two very heavy words, are being used to kill that old legacy model.
And that is our mission for this deep dive. We're going to try to figure out what a modern service department actually looks like, according to this text. Is it really just chatbots that don't get you?
Right.
Or is it something deeper? Because, and I have to be the skeptic here, every company on earth claims they're innovating.
Oh, absolutely. Innovation has got to be the most abused word in the corporate dictionary.
So let's test it. When we look at the source, how do they even define modern? Because for me, modern often just means.
We have a website now.
Yes, we have a website, or maybe we have an app.
In this context, the text is actually very specific. It treats modern almost like a certification. It argues you can have a service department in, say, 2026 with all the latest gear, but if it lacks intelligence, and specifically the ability to understand context, it's not a modern department. It's just what the source calls a zombie department.
A zombie department. I like that though. It's a terrifying image. It's walking around, it looks alive, but there's no brain inside.
Precisely. The legacy model, the
Yeah.
zombie model, is purely reactive.
Yeah.
You have a problem, you call, you wait in a line, a human picks up. That human is the only intelligent part of the entire system.
Yeah.
The phone line isn't smart. The ticket system isn't smart. They're just buckets.
Right. And if that one human is having a bad day or they're a new hire, your whole experience just tanks. The system relies 100% on that agent's brain power.
Which is completely unscalable. And this source says a modern department just flips that whole dynamic on its head. The intelligence moves from the individual agent into the infrastructure itself.
Okay, let's unpack that. Infrastructure intelligence. Sounds great on a PowerPoint slide, but what does it actually mean for, the person just trying to return a toaster?
It means context preservation.
Yeah.
That is the absolute core of the smarter claim in the subtitle. Think about the old way.
Okay.
Every time you're transferred or you switch from an email to a phone call, you just reset to zero.
Yeah.
You have to tell your story all over again. Hi, I bought this toaster, it exploded.
And then they transfer you to small appliances, and you have to
Yeah.
say, "Hi, I bought this toaster, it exploded." And then you get the
Correct.
supervisor, and yeah.
Yeah. And the system has learned absolutely nothing. It has zero memory. It's amnesiac. The new tech, this source highlights, is designed to create this unified brain that sits above all those channels. So when you call, the system already knows you tried to return the toaster online 3 hours ago. It knows your phone number. It routes you not just to customer service, but to an agent who handles refund exceptions.
So the smart part is that the system is connecting all the dots before a human even says a word.
Yes. It's moving from routing to reasoning. The tech is synthesizing data, your
Yeah.
purchase history, your recent activity, to make a decision. That is intelligence in the, truest sense.
This brings up a really interesting point about the new tech. I think a lot of us have this fear that new tech in customer service just means AI chatbots trying to block you from talking to a real person.
That is the cynical view. And to be honest, it's often earned. A
So.
lot of companies do use tech that way. But the source makes a critical distinction. It's not about deflection.
Okay.
It's about preparation. If the tech is making the department smarter, it shouldn't be building a wall between you and help. It should be like tearing down all the friction to get you to the right help.
So, if I'm understanding this, the goal isn't necessarily to replace the human, but to arm them, give them superpowers.
Or even better, to unburden them. Think about the cognitive load on an agent in that old setup. They're looking up account numbers, reading policies, trying to calm someone down, typing notes.
All at once.
It's incredibly stressful. The smarter system this source talks about handles all that retrieval. It just pops up and says, here's the customer, here's the likely problem, and here are the three eligible solutions.
And that links directly to the innovation part of the title, doesn't it? We think of innovation as like new gadgets, but here the innovation is in the workflow itself.
It's process innovation, and it's fueled by intelligence. You can't really innovate your workflow if you don't have the data to back it up. If your system is dumb, your process has to be rigid.
Step one, ask for name. Step two, ask for problem.
Exactly. It's the only way to manage the chaos. But a smart system allows for fluid innovation. It can say, oh, this is a VIP client who's had 3 outages this month. Skip steps 1 through 5 and offer a credit immediately.
That is a huge shift. It moves the whole interaction from an interrogation to, well, a conversation.
And that's why the source links intelligence and innovation so tightly. You really can't have one without the other. If you just buy the tech, the intelligence, but keep all your old rigid policies, you're not innovating.
You just have expensive tools.
Right. And if you try to innovate your policies without the tech to support it, you just create chaos for your agents.
It's a symbiotic relationship. But I want to play devil's advocate for a second. We're talking about smarter systems. Does this eventually hit a wall? Is there a point where the system is maybe too smart?
You mean the creepy factor? Where it knows what you want before you even know you want it?
Yeah, that. Or just the over-engineering factor. Like, what if the system tries to anticipate my needs, but it just guesses wrong? What if I'm not calling about the toaster?
That is the risk. It's the risk of intelligence without wisdom, I guess. A smarter system works on probabilities.
Mm-hmm.
It predicts that because you were looking at the cancel subscription page, you must be calling to cancel.
Uh-huh.
But maybe you're actually calling to upgrade and you couldn't find the button. So if the system routes you to a retention team that starts aggressively offering you discounts to stay,
and you just wanted to give them more money, that's a total failure.
It's a great example. So smarter has to also mean the ability to adapt when the prediction is wrong. It can't be rigid.
Correct. And this is where the human element is still so crucial. The source suggests the modern department uses tech to handle the predictable so humans can handle the unpredictable.
Right.
The innovation is in freeing up human brain power for empathy, for complex problems, and for correcting the system when it's wrong.
So we're not talking about the rise of the machines taking over the call center.
No, we're talking about the rise of the cyborgs, humans enhanced by better data.
That's a vivid way to put it. It's like the Iron Man suit. The agent is still the pilot, but the suit, the new tech, is doing all the heavy lifting. The agent just has to fly.
I love that analogy. Okay, let's pivot to the listener. Well, why should you care about the back-end architecture of a call center? Aside from hopefully spending less time on hold, does this stuff actually matter to our daily lives?
It matters because this shift is defining the entire competitive landscape. We're in an experience economy now. The product itself, the toaster, the software, is becoming a commodity.
You can get a toaster anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The differentiator is the service. So if you're a business leader listening to this, the source is like a flashing red light. If your service department is dumb, you are vulnerable.
Vulnerable to who?
To the competitor who has adopted this modern standard. If I can solve a complex issue with company A in 2 minutes, because their system is smart, but it takes 2 days with company B because they keep losing my info. Company B doesn't just lose that one sale.
They lose you forever.
Forever. Our tolerance for friction is just disappearing. We used to expect bad service. We'd budget time for it. Oh, I have to call the bank. There goes my lunch break.
Yeah, that was the norm.
But now, because of these pioneers, we know better is possible. Uh-huh. The baseline has moved. And as a customer, you should learn to spot the difference. You can feel it in the first 10 seconds.
Okay, so what are the telltale signs? How do I know if I'm dealing with a modern department or a legacy one?
The biggest tell is repetition. If you have to repeat your account number that you just typed into the keypad, legacy.
Ah.
If the agent asks, how can I help you today? When you've been on the returns page for 20 minutes, logged into your account, legacy. That disconnect proves the systems are not talking to each other.
And the modern signs.
Anticipation. Hi, are you calling about the order that was just delivered? That's the hallmark of the intelligence the source describes. It's the system meeting you halfway.
It's interesting because anticipation feels like a very human trait. You know, you anticipate the needs of people you care about. It's strange to think of a database doing that.
But that's the ultimate goal of this tech, right? To simulate that level of care, but at scale.
Yeah.
You can't hire enough humans to personally know a million customers.
No.
But you can build a system that knows them.
So in a weird way, the new tech is actually trying to make the experience more personal, not less.
That's the paradox. You use cold, hard data to create a warm, personal experience. When it works, it feels like magic. When it breaks, it feels like surveillance. The line is thin.
I want to go back to innovation one more time. The source pairs it with intelligence. Do you think most companies struggle with one of those more than the other?
I think most companies are drowning in data potential intelligence, but they are starving for innovation. They buy the tools, they collect the logs, they have terabytes of information, but they don't do anything different with it. They just build a faster version of the old factory floor.
So they have the new tech, but they aren't any smarter.
Exactly. They bought the gym membership, but they're not working out. To be smarter, like the subtitle says, you have to change your behavior based on what the tech is telling you.
And that's the hard part. That requires a cultural change, not just a software update.
It requires letting go of the old metrics. Legacy departments measure average handle time. How fast can we get you off the phone?
Right, a factory metric.
A modern department might actually want longer calls if the intelligence shows a sales opportunity or a high risk of churn.
That's a perfect example of smarter versus faster. A fast system hangs up, a smart system listens.
And a smart system learns. That's another key part of this, feedback loops. In the old days, if 100 people called with the same problem, the department just answered the phone 100 times.
Hamsters on a wheel.
Totally. A smarter system sees that spike, flags the root cause, hey, the website link is broken, and tells the engineers to fix it.
So the service department stops being just the complaint department and starts being the quality assurance department.
It becomes the nervous system of the company. It feels pain, customer complaints, and signals the brain to fix it. That is a truly modern function.
It really elevates the status of the whole department, from the basement where you hide problems to the control tower.
Which is why the title is so optimistic, Intelligence and Innovation.
Hmm.
It frames service not as a cost center, but as a strategic asset.
I have to say, reading through this, it does give me a glimmer of hope. I had kind of resigned myself to a lifetime of bad hold music.
We're in a messy transition period. The new tech is here, but it's not evenly distributed yet.
So we've talked about intelligence, innovation, modern. Is there anything the source leaves out? Any blind spots?
I think it's very optimistic about the implementation. It assumes if you install the tech, the smarts will just follow. But integration is messy.
The vision is modern, but the reality is often modern taped on top of ancient.
Spaghetti code, as they say. And that leads to those disjointed experiences where the chatbot is smart, but the agent it transfers you to is looking at a green screen from 1995.
The Frankenstein service department.
Exactly. It's stitched together, but the trajectory is clear. This source is a roadmap. It's saying this is where we are all going.
And for you listening, whether you run a team or you're just trying to get your internet fixed, this gives you a vocabulary. When you feel that friction, it's a lack of intelligence. When you feel that smooth service, that's the modern architecture at work.
And it changes what you demand. You stop accepting I don't know as an answer.
This has been a really enlightening look at something we usually think is so mundane.
It's the front line of how humans and machines interact. It's where the rubber meets the road.
So we've covered the new tech, the shift to smarter, the definition of modern. I think we've squeezed the juice out of this source.
We definitely have.
But before we wrap, I want to pose one final question. We've been talking about the system getting smarter. We've established smarter means knowing context and anticipating. What's the next step?
That's the big question.
If the department is smart today, what happens when it becomes wise?
Wise. That is a powerful concept.
What does a wise service department look like?
If smart is knowing how to fix the problem, maybe wise is knowing why the problem exists and preventing it before it ever even happens. Maybe a wise department makes itself obsolete.
A department so good you never have to call it. Now that is a modern dream I can get behind.
The invisible service department. Yeah. The problem is solved before you even knew you had one.
Exactly. Thank you so much for breaking this all down. It's been a fantastic deep dive.
My pleasure.
And thank you to everyone listening. Next time you're on hold, just remember, you are listening to history. The future is smarter. We'll see you on the next deep dive.
Oh.